You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison. Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the popping geek culture show that nails our intros first time, every time, and no arguments.
And we definitely haven't been sitting here for 20 minutes.
Definitely not. I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Cody.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. Before we get into our news, let's get into some things we've been checking out.
First try.
Yep. And before we get into our check-it-outs, I want to say we two-thirds of us saw Suicide Squad.
Two-fourths.
We are putting that in the news half of the show, so wait.
There's a lot of news to go with it,
and I think we need to get into like a deeper discussion of it.
Also,
so,
I'm not going to see it.
Yeah,
I've decided I'm just not going to see it.
Probably smart, but we'll get into that later. Anyway, check them out. So let's go.
Boom.
No Man's Sky. I've been playing the crap. I've had it for 2 days, and I probably played it for 8 hours.
That's awesome.
Wow, you put in a full work shift.
Yeah, basically.
Flying imaginary spaceships.
Yeah, I had the day off on the day it came out, and That's literally all I did.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love it. It's great.
Wow, I don't think I've ever heard you say that about a game in a long time.
No, it's hard to explain, because there really isn't any game like it. The closest I can come up with, and this sounds really weird, remember Lego Worlds?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, that game that had no point.
And you just kind of wander around and find
stuff. Yeah.
That's kind of the closest thing I can think of.
Really?
To No Man's Sky.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's super chill. You just kind of go around and explore these planets, collect resources, build upgrades for your ship and your suit and your gun. And that's
all your space needs.
That's about it. I mean, the overarching goal is to get to the center of the universe. And keep in mind, this is a procedurally generated real-size universe.
So you'll probably never get there.
Not within, like, less than 30 hours, I guess. 100 hours.
Okay.
Something ridiculous.
Wow.
And you won't really be in any hurry to get there. Because it's fine just to explore.
I did see an article where two players, I guess, started out or went to the same planet at the same time and never saw each other.
Yeah, it's questionable whether or not there's any sort of multiplayer like they said there was going to be.
Mm.
They don't know if it's because of too many people on the server and it just didn't work, or they're not being clear. So
or it's just that big.
Yeah, there's kind of a mystery there surrounding how multiplayer it is. But honestly, if you're going into it looking for any sort of multiplayer, you're going to be disappointed. That's not the game it is. It's about being lonely in space.
Huh. So it's not really like Star Citizen or
Elite Dangerous?
Yes, Elite Dangerous. There we go.
It's a pretty sparsely populated universe as far as sapient creatures go. Like, I was maybe a couple hours in before I even saw one alien I could talk to.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
So it's kind of has that Metroid-y, like, solitary exploring thing going on.
So is there, like, a story
at
all?
There is, but it's not 100% clear. There's some creature or god or something called Atlas that's kind of nudging you in different directions. But I'm not far enough to know exactly what's going on, and that's fine.
Well, I hope it doesn't turn into a Star Trek movie situation where you get to the center of the universe and it's just a dude.
it's just William Shatner.
It's just Shatner. Yeah, it's just Shatner sitting there.
Hi.
Yeah. Why does God need a spaceship? Yeah, that was, what was it? Star Trek 6? Five or six, where Spock's brother hijacked the Enterprise because God needed a spaceship to get out of the center of the universe. And it turned out it was just some guy, some psychic.
Is that the... No, it's not.
That might be five, because it might have been the one after Voyage Home with the whales in the 80s and Double Dumbass on You.
Oh, yeah.
Should have worked that into the intro.
I should have, yeah. Okay, start the show over.
No!
No.
We did it perfect the first time.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm glad No Man's Sky is good. We were talking a little bit before that they were before the game came out, that they had like this giant list of like improvements and stuff, and we weren't sure like how they were going to make all of that work. Did it seem like it hit, like, checked off everything on that list?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, you have to, when you play it, you have to realize everything's procedurally generated, and that kind of is always in the back of your head that, like, a person did not make this, a computer did.
Right, yeah.
But I think that works in its favor a lot, because it makes alien things look super alien.
Okay, cool.
Like, all the creatures you find, like, are super weird looking and, like, look very much not out of this world. And that's what makes it fun to discover them. You wonder what kind of weird thing you're going to find next.
So when you discover stuff, you just get to name it?
Yeah. When you push start, it goes to a menu of all the stuff you've discovered, and you just go through and name everything you want.
So in the event that someone else goes to the planet you've been to where you first discovered things...
unlikely as that may be.
Yeah.
In the event that that is the way the game works, which I kind of hope it does, they're just going to see things that you've named.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, you know, the Codysaurus over here.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means years down the line, when there is a user base that has kind of turned over a couple times, and eventually someone will. I mean, it'll happen.
Yeah.
It's already happened. People have tripped over stuff that's already been named.
Okay. Very cool.
It's not something you're going to see a lot because it's that big of a game.
That's awesome.
And there's no load times.
Really?
You go right off of a planet into space onto another planet and it never stops.
Wow.
It's insane.
I'm confused how they managed to pull that off.
That's a lot of pop in.
Okay.
They kind of hide it with this fizzly little effect.
Mm.
But it's popping.
Okay. Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt the game or anything. Like,
okay.
I don't know. Maybe I give it a lot of leeway because of what it is, but
like I want to play it, but at the same time I'm like, do I want to give in to the hype?
Most of the people that got super hyped on it are going to end up disappointed because it's not, I feel like people that got super hyped on it didn't thought it was something else. Like, it's not an action-y game. It's not space shooting. I mean, there is shooting, but not like there's not even a lot of combat. Like, if you shoot the animals, you don't get a whole lot out of it.
Okay.
Except robots mad at you. And maybe some carbon, which is easier found elsewhere.
I say, I've seen trailers of space combat before.
Yeah, there's space combat. But I really haven't done any of it. I haven't felt the need.
Well, interesting. Now, is this just a PS4, or what systems is it?
It's PS4, and it's going to come out on PC on the 12th, which it'll already be out by the time this airs.
Yeah, okay. Very cool.
I would think that I would want more combat.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's fine the way it is.
Well, cool. You know, sometimes you just need kind of a quiet little game to kind of...
Yeah,
it sounds relaxing, to be honest. It sounds really relaxing.
It's just fun to just explore these planets and, you know, maybe find some gold, harvest some gold. A lot of the minerals, you'll just find like these huge spires sticking out of the ground. It's like, oh, there's a tower made of gold. I'll go collect that and make some money off of it.
You know, it almost sounds like the way I play Minecraft. Back when I was way into Minecraft, I would turn off I would put on peaceful. So you didn't have to worry about any kind of combat or anything like that. You just go and explore. And because the game was procedurally generated, you never knew. And you would just go and find. Now it didn't have the finding, you know, different creatures aspect to it, but it just kind of, it sounds like it almost has that kind of just kind of peaceful kind of feel to it.
Yeah, that's the best way I can describe it, is it's a very chill game.
So there's is there any kind of player infrastructure or anything like that? Or
what do you mean?
Like, I don't know, like, is there a trade system? Is there?
Yeah, there's different, you access this computer to trade on the Galaxy Trade Network or whatever. Huh. It's not player based, but different times, different things will be worth different amounts. So if you have a bunch of gold and you go to the computer, sometimes it won't be worth as much.
Mm.
So you might want to hang on to it till you go somewhere else where it is. I mean, there's not really a way to keep track of where the gold's going to be worth more. You just kind of got to...
kind of eyeball it.
Yeah. Buy it when it's low, sell it when it's high.
Aside from buying new ships and stuff like that, what other stuff can you build or do?
There's four or five alien languages.
Huh.
And you don't know how to speak any of them.
Hmm.
And there's different monoliths and knowledge stones hidden on the planets that each time you activate one, you'll learn a single word in one of the languages.
Oh, wow.
So but piece by piece as you play, you'll slowly get more and more of these languages. But I have maybe 30 words or something, and I still don't know a lot of what the aliens are saying. And apparently they're just full languages that you have to uncover each single word.
Ugh.
It's pretty cool though, because you go from just guessing at your responses to these aliens to being able to kind of piece it together based on the context of the few words you know. And there's a lot of writing too. Like, a lot of times you'll find a landmark or something and look at it, and it'll tell you something that's happening to you, and then you respond with three options. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of there's no animation and stuff to go with it. It's just what's written there.
Hmm.
And the writing is actually really good. Like, there was one time where it said that robot spiders all of a sudden start crawling all over my face in my suit. What do I want to do? Do I want to rip my suit off and get the spiders off or what? And I could read part of the monolith's writing said calm. I had the word for calm. And I'm like, well, I'll just wait it out. One of the options was wait it out. I'm like, that's what it wants me to do because it's a hallucination. And it was, and I got it right.
Oh, cool.
I learned some more words and it raised my status. Well, that's another thing. You have status with the different races and the higher that is.
Oh, okay.
The more likely they'll be to work with you. The spaceship designs are cool too, which always helps. But I love it. We'll see how long it is before I get bored with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So far, it doesn't seem like I will. But I would recommend it if that's the kind of thing that sounds appealing to you. Because I can tell it's not going to be one of those things that's for everybody.
Oh, sure. No. It doesn't seem action-filled enough to be good for everybody.
No.
So.
Or if you're looking for any sort of multiplayer component whatsoever, no. Like, forget that right now.
Yeah. Well, outside of watching Suicide Squad, I did sit and watch a couple more movies this week. I watched a couple old movies done by Walter Hill, director. I've probably talked about on the show before, so I won't get into it too quick, but I rewatched The Warriors and Streets of Fire.
Hmm.
Have you guys seen either one of those?
No.
I've seen The Warriors. It's been a while.
Yeah. The Warriors is really good. I really enjoyed that one. It was based on a book. The book and the movie really don't have much in common other than like a few character names. Well, because the book, they were all like middle schoolers.
Mm.
They're all like 13, 14 year old.
Nobody wants to watch that in a movie.
Nobody wants to watch that. So
kids beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah. And I guess the book had a lot to do with they were constantly checking in with their like parole officer and like.
Oh, so they're all like delinquents.
Yeah, it was. I guess the book was just wildly different from the movie, but the movie is really good. It's the iconic one with the warrior. It's a bunch of gangs.
Yep.
They all meet up in a park because there's this one gang leader who wants to unify all the gangs. And it's like cartoon, like almost like Batman villain style gangs. They all have their different motifs.
Like the baseball gang,
the baseball Furies. Yeah. Where they have their faces painted up like Kiss, but they're wearing baseball costumes.
Warriors, come out and play!
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's the
line.
I was wondering how long it was going to be before somebody did that.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do it, Josh, because that's
what they do.
Yeah, but no, the whole deal is the gang leader is assassinated, and the gang that killed him blames it on the Warriors. So the Warriors are trying to get back to Coney Island, the abandoned Coney Island amusement park, because that's their home turf. That's their like safe zone. They're trying to get back to base, basically. And it's these other gangs that are all trying to get them. And it's a really neat kind of, I guess, kind of a heist or not heist. Just kind of a road kind of trip kind of movie. It has some parallels with 300, the Greek story.
Oh, with the 300 Spartans and
Trapped in enemy territory, just trying to get back. No, not the
Frank Miller comic,
kind of. Yeah, but it's really good. I really enjoy it. It's one of the first acting jobs James Remar had. You would know him as Raiden Number 2 from Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, yeah. So I watched that, and then I followed it up with another one of his movies, Streets of Fire. I know I've talked about this on the show, but no one has seen it because it kind of tanked.
It might have been a Pizza Cast episode.
It might have been a really old episode, so I'll go through it again real quick. It is same kind of setting, kind of. It's a weird time frame where it's equal parts of the 50s and the 80s, so it's a lot of neon and a lot of 80s styles, but also, yeah, the fadies. Nice, I like that. And it's billed as kind of like a rock epic musical thing, but it's not really. There's some music that is in it, and the main character is, the whole point is this main character is called back to his town, his unnamed town, because his girlfriend, who is also a musician, has been kidnapped by a gang led by like 19-year-old Willem Dafoe with Wolverine hair and leather overalls, and that's it. No shirt, leather overalls.
Sounds like Double Dragon.
It actually, the theory is the movie was partially the basis for Final Fight, because the main character's name is Cody.
Oh.
Tom Cody. So it's, but the whole deal, it's really neat. It's just a little simple story. A lot of actors that were kind of big at the time or were just becoming big. Rick Moranis in a rare non-nerd role. He actually plays kind of a sleazebag.
Okay.
let's see, what's his name? Mr. Body from the Clue movie.
Oh.
The the guy who's killed off at the beginning. The musician, not really an actor. Well, he's a gang member in this.
Okay.
Michael Pare is the main guy who was on track to being like a big action star, like the next Stallone, until he made this movie because this movie tanked real hard. But I really enjoy it. It has Diane Lane in it. It has a lot of really good music. Well, that's worth checking out. It was originally supposed to be a trilogy, but again, the movie tanked really hard.
I wonder how many trilogies there would be if that didn't happen to movies.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. Yeah. Or how many trilogies that did happen that maybe shouldn't have.
Yeah, right. But
I really want to play through Final Fight again now.
Yeah, but there are a lot of parallels between the game Final Fight and Streets of Fire. So anyway.
Streets of Rage.
Streets of Rage, yeah,
probably
there you
parallels
go.
There,
probably.
Too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably. But definitely worth checking out. I own them, but I think they're on Netflix. Again, I think they're the kind of movie that would be
on Netflix.
So
what, like Wolf Cop?
Oh God, Wolf Cop. Oh, don't get me started about Wolf Cop.
I've been dipping back into BoJack Horseman.
Oh, you have?
Oh yeah, I've been reading all sorts of, like, there's a lot of articles now about how good it is and why are we not talking about it more.
Because it's depressing to talk about, yeah. Because it's a depressing show.
It is. I'm like at the beginning of season two. I still haven't quite finished it.
Yeah, I'm like toward the end of season two. The last episode I watched wasn't even funny.
Yeah, probably
like,
not.
It was just, you know, a lot of depressing drama, and that's okay. Like,
yeah,
it's a good show.
The last one I watched was the BoJack Horseman Christmas special.
Oh, the Christmas special is pretty good.
I'll be honest, I know there's like, that everyone says you have to get past like the first five or six episodes of BoJack. And for whatever reason, I just haven't been able to get over the hump yet. Maybe it's just because I haven't had time to sit down and watch it.
Yeah. Because the first five or six episodes are your generic Comedy Central adult cartoon comedy.
Yeah. And that's
what I thought when I watched the first episode of it.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
But it definitely gets past that and turns into something so much more.
Okay. Well, that's
and
good.
Worse.
And
that's good. That's what I keep hearing. And I've been meaning to go back and get into it, but.
This is some of the most well-written, fully rounded characters I've seen, not just in a cartoon, but just like any show.
Yeah, they feel like real people for being like animal people.
That's cool.
I hate Mr. Peanut Butter.
I think you're supposed to.
God, I hate him.
I like Mr. Peanut Butter.
He's too Mr. Peanut Butter.
He's just always excited to see everybody for everybody like a dog. Like,
yeah. He's a dog.
He's a golden lab, and he very much acts like one.
Yeah.
Like, I can't hate him because he's... He's not. He doesn't try to be like anything he does that is wrong. He didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, it's all with the best intentions.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or like when BoJack was cast as him in a movie about Mr. Peanut Butter, and Mr. Peanut Butter's like mad because they don't have BoJack wearing a V-neck T-shirt or something like that. Stupid. See my check it outs.
Yep.
Okay. I watched Suicide Squad, but that is for later.
Yep.
I've been dipping back into Minecraft.
Oh, okay.
There's this server out there called CivCraft. It's got a lot of weird rules to it.
Okay.
And the way the server is set up and like the mods and stuff that the server utilizes server side.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite like regular Minecraft. Like you don't just go and collect materials because they randomly appear when you're digging. And there's like a player like infrastructure within the game. And it's just something weird I've been kind of doing. I'm not too far into doing anything because I like literally just got on it. I got like half a house that I built. I am outside of, I think, yesterday's new episode. I am caught up on Steven Universe and all my, much like every like long stint of episodes where they do new Steven episodes every day, there's like an overarching story and it's getting deeper again.
Good. It's the best.
It is the best time.
Yeah.
And it's like more like it's fleshing out characters we didn't really know much about. Like there's a lot of Lapis stuff.
Okay, good.
Got into some Jasper stuff. And, like, actually figuring out, like, what Jasper's motivations were or are and everything.
I love the design of Lapis, by the way.
Those
water wings are so cool looking.
Oh,
they're very cool.
And now the fact that Lapis and Peridot are, like, best friends / roommates.
Barnmates?
Yep, because they live in the barn together. Steven and Connie growing as characters.
Good.
At one point, they fuse and fight, and it's amazing. God, I love that show so much.
It's such a good show.
It is, as you're sitting there in your Steven t-shirt.
Yeah, I need to catch up really bad.
Oh, man.
I'm like way behind.
Oh, it's so good. I'm getting mad because my on-demand stuff isn't getting the new Star stuff as much.
Oh, but I'm behind on that, too. I forgot that was still going.
Yeah. There's like stuff with Ludo and...
That Ludo episode is really good.
Ludo in the Wild?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. They did another one kind of like that, where Ludo figures out how his wand works. And it's tied
as a metaphor for puberty now. One of my favorite Star episodes is the one where she goes through puberty.
Oh, I know, right? Boy. And like all the crazy like tendrils come out and just
she goes boy crazy and also turns into a monster.
like a spider creature.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
I love that voice actress that voices Star. She's fantastic.
Oh, I know.
I don't remember what her name is.
Yeah,
but
it's, yeah, she's got a really wide range. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, why don't I just look it up for you?
On that internet machine. Star Buttercup.
Oh, Eaton Cher. Okay. She's on the middle. She's the middle child in the middle.
I never watched
The middle. I don't think I've ever watched The Middle now.
Yep, oh. I never watched The Middle.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I've watched The Middle. That's awesome. She's a really good actress. She was rumored to have a bit part as Kamala Khan in the Captain Marvel movie.
Huh.
Because she's been in talks with Marvel and walked out with a whole bunch of Ms. Marvel books one point. So.
That's fine.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I recognize her. Cool.
Is she Middle Eastern?
No.
Oh,
that's not cool.
But
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a heavy conversation to have.
Anyway, but yeah, like seriously, it's like the high points of like American animation, in my opinion, is like we got Star, which its story is now beginning to actually bloom because it really started to get there toward the end of the first season with the whole thing with Toffee, who was voiced by Alan Tudyk.
Oh, okay, good.
And Star's powers kind of growing and everything and giving her agency, you know, to go save Marco, which is a nice turn on the spin of a
damsel.
Yeah.
Although Marco can save himself a lot.
This is true.
Too.
Yeah, this is true. Marco is a very accomplished martial artist, which we see in like the first episode they ever meet and where they fight monsters together. And then, and then with Steven and the fact that Steven is improved as a character so much that he's not just like the bumbling sidekick funny guy now. He can actually step up with the rest. And a couple of new powers have developed with him.
Let's leave it at that.
Pretty much.
We're really in like a renaissance for animation though right now. There's so many cartoons that like everybody always complains about how cartoons now aren't as good as they were. It's like, no they're better
they're
now.
They're better. You're just not,
you're not watching the right ones.
Yeah.
I mean, like story is like evolving. And
they're more serialized now, which I think you can attribute kind of to the popularity of anime.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, to a point, yeah.
Because anime is always serialized.
It's always been serialized. Sure.
I think it kind of started kind of like when Avatar The Last Airbender was a thing.
Which was very anime influenced.
Yeah. Yes, heavily, mm-hmm. heavily.
And I mean, Steven is a very, very much, or at least early on, it was Sailor Moon.
Kind
of. You can see the parallels.
Oh, there's a lot of Sailor Moon. There's a lot of Utena.
See, I don't know what
there's a
Revolution of Girl Utena. It was another Magical Girl-esque fighting anime kind of thing.
Oh.
Sort of.
There's tons of anime
references. Oh, yeah.
And references.
Heck, there's like a whole episode dedicated basically to anime, and it's Steven's imagination of what Garnet did on her day.
Oh, yeah, Garnet's universe.
Yeah, that one was the weighted hair reference. She takes off her big cube of hair and becomes faster because of it. And she's got this weird round bald head. But no, it's amazing. And it's nice to see, how do I want to put this, trends kind of sticking and not being just pushed aside because it might not be as accepted, maybe, is what I want.
In what context? I don't know what you mean.
Okay. Yeah. Like, Cartoon Network kind of going beyond the point of kind of bringing up shows that are not as marketable, I guess. Like, it's not necessarily about superheroes and things they can make toys of. Kind of like,
okay, I kind of get what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah.
They're taking kind of a risk on some of their shows.
Yes,
just by the sheer fact that they're, like you said, they're not marketable, and that's cool. But then again, I mean, Rocker's Modern Life was never marketable, and that got 3 seasons.
This is true. That was also Nickelodeon.
Cow and Chicken wasn't marketable, and it got multiple seasons.
That show sucks.
I hate Cow and Chicken.
Johnny Bravo, while funny back when it was on, would never work today.
No.
In today's climate, never.
Nope.
I love Johnny Bravo.
I love Johnny Bravo, too. I go back and watch it every now and then because it's really funny, but it would never get made today.
Although the later
episodes. Yeah, that's true.
Which we always thought were better when they added that supporting cast of like Carl and Pops
and
stuff.
That
was
helped.
A much better show.
That helped a lot. But like, look at okay, look at Dexter's Lab. How many Dexter's Lab toys are there?
Not enough.
Very few.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Cartoon Network, they've always kind of taken chances on not...
Yeah.
But I understand
Except
what you're saying
when
now.
When it comes to the DC Universe animated shows for some reason.
Well, yeah. it's because Cartoon Network is owned by Warner. It's Turner, which is tied in with Time Warner, which is also DC Comics. That's what that is.
And if it doesn't sell toys, they don't want it.
Well, it's like they're the loss leader, kind of. There's like they make all their money on DC animated stuff, merchandising, so that they can go and take chances on
Steven Universe,
basically. Yeah. And
Adventure Time, regular show.
Like, regular show is a huge risk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's almost nothing
marketable for kids. Did you guys ever see the regular show
pilot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is basically Clerks.
Oh, the 3 a.m. at the I forget what it was.
Yeah, the 7-Eleven or whatever. It's not
a kid's thing.
No, absolutely not.
No, it is Clerks.
And it's great. It makes me almost wish that regular show was an Adult Swim show, like it originally was planned to be.
Because they, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hey, listen, we are good on time here, so let's go ahead and take a break. And when we get back, we'll talk about some news.
Woo. And some Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
We've teased it enough.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 127 South Sandusky Avenue in downtown Bucyrus, 419-562-0404, and online at subcultureoh.com.
We're back. That was Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
A little known band.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you've heard of that song or that band, but they're doing great. You know,
it touches my heart because you know I'm just a poor boy
from a poor family.
Yes,
you can't see it, but I'm headbanging right now. Yeah. Anyway, we played that because it was featured prominently in the newest DC movie, Suicide Squad.
Oh, see, I thought you were talking about Justice League.
Oh, no.
Or Wonder Woman.
No, those look good. Those look like good movies.
Well, I don't know about Justice League, but Wonder Woman certainly looks amazing.
Wonder Woman looks good, although we'll get into it, but trailers for Suicide Squad also looked good.
Yeah,
anyway, we're going to get into a discussion of Suicide Squad. Josh and I have both seen it. Cody, has no want.
I have no desire now.
Okay,
I mean, but I've read and watched every critique of it. From here to Tuesday.
There's quite a few.
You feel like you've seen the movie now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just as a warning, we're going to get into spoilers.
Spoilers!
This is not a good movie. I wouldn't recommend going to see it. So, but if you are planning on seeing it, maybe come back in about 10, 15 minutes. Turn the radio off. Fast forward on your MP3 device. You know, whatever you got to do. Because we're going to talk about this movie. So Josh, what did you think of Suicide Squad? Good answer.
That's going to be a good sound coming out of people's radio.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay, what can I say about Suicide Squad that hasn't been said?
No, let's talk about everything.
In the early mornings of when my stomach doesn't feel good.
Okay,
there are entertaining tidbits in the movie. There are glimmers of what could have been possibly a good movie, or at least an okay movie.
Yeah.
But
we're not talking about what it could be. We're talking about what it is.
What it is.
What it is, Josh. What it is.
It's not great.
No. No, it's not.
I think I enjoyed it watching it a little more than I did Batman v Superman.
I'll agree with that. It's better than Batman v Superman, colon, Dawn of
which
Justice.
Which is not hard.
Yeah. It's not exactly high praise.
No. I could shoot a film, right now off the top of my head and it would be better than Batman v Superman. And I've never made a movie before.
Yeah, I feel very similar to you. I think I didn't like it. There are definite portions that I did like. The second half is infinitely better than the first half, I think.
Yeah.
Still not great, but way better. And at times, more enjoyable. I think my biggest gripe about it is because I can see what it could have been, that there is a good movie, a kernel of a good movie in there, I think it makes it that much more frustrating to watch.
Well, that was with Batman v Superman. There are points that are okay, and the last 10 minutes are not bad.
But that's a 2.5 hour movie, and that was the director's original vision.
Yeah.
This movie is not a David Ayer's original vision.
This movie was, and we quoted this the other day, studio intervention, the movie.
Studio meddling, the movie. Yeah, yeah. The story goes that David Ayer's shot the movie. Well, first off, he only had 6 weeks to write it, so that's a problem in itself. But he shot the movie, and he had he was writer and director. He had a definite vision for how he wanted the movie to go. And around the time that he was wrapping filming it and was starting to edit, the reviews of Batman v Superman started rolling in. This was around the time Deadpool was also out, and people had stuff, the Marvel movies on their mind and stuff. And Warner Brothers got cold feet and decided, we need to reshoot a whole bunch of this to make it more like the other guys, to make it more like Guardians of the Galaxy and Deadpool, which, while I enjoyed both of those movies, it was clearly not what Ayers wanted this movie to be.
No.
And so the whole first half of this movie was basically reshot and re-edited and recut up to the point where it is just a jumbled, stupid mess.
It doesn't know where it wants to go.
It doesn't.
It's like, I walked into this room to look for something and I've forgotten it. The film.
Yeah. Well, okay, so it's clear watching the film and knowing about how there were reshoots, it's clear that Ayers didn't want the Suicide Squad to come together and the whole plot of them becoming a team to happen until about halfway, two-thirds into the movie.
Yeah.
That he had a whole, like, you were going to follow each of the different members while they were, before they were arrested.
Yes.
And there were, and it was chopped up. The version that we got was so chopped up because a lot of their pre-incarceration was told in flashback.
Yes.
And it's clear by watching those flashbacks that they were actually longer scenes that were then chopped down to the point where they almost make no sense. And let me tell you, this movie, the movie opens with Viola Davis as Amanda Waller, who was a great character. I think Viola Davis was
Really good job.
She did an excellent job in it. I think she did a really, really good job. I still think CCH Pounder would have done a better job.
Yeah.
Because she's the voice of Amanda Waller from Justice League.
Yeah.
She also looks exactly like Amanda Waller. And her character in Warehouse 13 is basically Amanda Waller. Anyway, you have
that's a good show.
The opening is Amanda Waller having dinner with these military guys, explaining her idea for the Suicide Squad, or Task Force X is what she's calling it, and explaining who, like, some of the highlight characters are going to be. Your Deadshots, your Harley Quinns, your Killer Croc. Well, not even Killer Croc. Boomerang, Captain Boomerang, I think, were the three that she talked about. And Enchantress.
Yes.
Yeah. So she's sitting there selling her plan to these military guys, which you see in the trailers. The next scene, she is led into the Pentagon, where she is selling her idea to even more military people.
So you get to hear it twice, in case you didn't get it the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Though, the part where she's in the Pentagon and does the thing, and they actually see the Enchantress do stuff, it was kind of visually interesting.
I'm saying you could have meshed those two scenes together.
Yeah, very true.
Into one longer scene and given maybe a little more time to letting us get to know the Will Smith's character or Margot Robbie's character, mm-hmm. or anyone else.
Yeah, the movie involved. The movie basically focused around three people.
Yeah,
Enchantress, Harley Quinn, Deadshot,
and you forgot Rick Flag.
Oh yeah. You mean the cardboard cutout?
The cardboard cutout military man.
With us, yeah.
Yeah. You know, he was RoboCop? That was the reboot RoboCop?
Was it?
It was. Joel Kinnaman.
Huh.
Yeah. Equally as forgettable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never watched the reboot RoboCop.
It's not good.
It's okay.
It's all right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
There are tidbits in it where you can tell what the idea they were trying to go with, where the original RoboCop was making fun of, like, 80s violence and stuff. And
this one was
talking about, like, media, like, sensationalism.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Either way, that's a film discussion for another
time. It's kind of a thing that's been done to death, too.
A little bit. And plus, that RoboCop kind of did a neat thing where you had a RoboCop who initially had his full mental faculties and throughout the movie became less and less human because of...
He was reverse RoboCop.
He was reverse RoboCop, basically. Anyway,
we're not
talking about RoboCop.
We're
talking about another terrible movie. but, like, what can you tell me about Killer Croc besides what he looks like and what he does?
Other than the stuff that I already know. About Killer Croc.
No, pretend like you have never read a comic book. This is the first time you've seen the character. What can you tell me? Not what he looks like, not what he does.
He thinks he's beautiful.
He's a gator boy.
Yeah. What can you tell me about Diablo?
He has fire powers and he...
But that's something he does.
Oh, sorry.
Who is he?
Latino gangbanger. Ex-Latino.
That's what he does. That's what he is. What? See? What? See?
Also, what a stereotype.
Yeah. Well, again, that's a comic.
Yeah.
You can only do so much when you're pulling characters from comics without...
Especially old ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is, there is a whole two-thirds of the team that you just don't know anything about. Like, Captain Boomerang. At least Captain Boomerang was given a little bit of a background, but I think that was more of an excuse to show off the Flash costume, because Flash shows up for, like, half a scene, half a second.
He shows up for a flash.
Yeah, but he's just standing there.
Yeah.
There's lightning around him, and he just stands there. You don't see him actually move.
Nope.
He doesn't do any flashing.
He does no Flash thing. But he had nothing to do in this movie, because it was clear that he was written to be like Deadpool, because they gave him like this arbitrary like fascination with this pink unicorn stuffed animal
that he keeps in his coat
that he may or may not be doing things with.
Oh,
which is not from the comics. That's just Deadpool.
That's directly ripped from the Deadpool
yeah
movie.
So he's supposed to be the comic relief character, but Harley Quinn is the comic relief character of this
yeah.
movie. So what does that leave for Captain Boomerang?
He'd throw things and they come back.
But they didn't. He would throw them and they'd either get stuck in a guy or they'd get blown up. I don't think he had a single boomerang come back to him.
He had like one or two come back. He makes a joke.
He only threw like one or two.
He makes a joke that when it comes back and everyone's kind of surprised, goes, what? It's what they do.
See, I guess I blanked out on that because I don't even remember that.
They didn't do the thing you do with boomerangs where you're fighting a guy and you throw one and you miss. And then the guy's like, you missed, loser, and then it comes back in a second.
Well, that would require a person that he's going up against that could actually speak. That is not just a putty from Power Rangers. Because that's what they are.
Yeah, the spore monsters.
The spore monster. Yeah, they're just putties.
That the Enchantress is creating out
yeah.
of the citizens of Midway City or whatever that place.
Yeah, let's talk about the Enchantress for a second. Why did...
I threw that boomerang before he...
before he walked in the room! Oh, Black Dynamite. I love Black Dynamite. That's a great movie.
Oh my god, that was...
Yeah.
That's the best movie.
It's a great movie. Enchantress. Okay, so why did Viola Davis's character, why did Amanda Waller put together a team to fight a threat that she also created? But when she put the team together, she didn't know that she was creating her own arch nemesis.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, she's got some real down deep problems.
Lazy story writing.
Yeah, well, there's that too.
Yeah. I liked Enchantress when she was like the weird dirt witch.
Yes.
And there were some really cool visuals, like
when
she would transform from June Moon, because it's an archaeologist that was possessed.
Yes.
By the spirit of a ghost witch. And there was the second scene where
yes.
she's introducing the scene, and you see like
the black hand
yeah,
come out of the table.
It was very cool. It was like the archaeologist June Moon was standing up, and she says the magic word Enchantress or whatever, and you see like black fingers come up from underneath and then turn over, and then
she's
like,
there.
Oh, yeah, that's
that was
cool.
Really cool
oh,
visuals.
Yeah. A lot of Enchantress's visuals were great,
except when she gets powered up and just becomes a supermodel in a bikini. Shaking
around
in front of a giant lightning thing shooting up into the sky,
yeah.
which looks familiar, doesn't it? That shot of like a big spire of blue light shooting up into the sky, calling down like weird stuff.
And monsters.
Doesn't that sound like it's been in a superhero movie before? A really popular one about a team coming together and fighting off things. I think there was magic in that too.
Debatable. But
yeah, were they the enforcers or something? I don't know, like something like that.
There's
a green guy and a red guy and
I thought you were gonna go for Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters too. Yeah, but I mean, it looked like
it's also about a team coming together.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, but no, I was talking about Avengers. It looked just like the ending of Avengers with the energy shooting straight up into the sky and stuff happening.
Except Killer Croc doesn't jump up into the beam to fight the villain and then fall back to Earth.
No, he just swims around a little bit.
No, and gets attacked by mud guys in
mud,
the water.
Mudmen.
Yeah.
And tells the Navy SEAL guy to blow the detonator.
Yeah.
So
anyway, it's... Okay, so let's get a little bit deeper into it. The good points. I think Will Smith did fine.
Oh yeah, he was great.
He did a very good job. He was Will Smithing it up, but he was kind of restrained a little bit. A
yeah.
little bit. This was definitely more Bad Boys Will Smith and not like Men in Black 3 Will Smith.
Yeah.
He wasn't phoning it in.
Well, that's maybe not, I wouldn't go that far, but he did a good job.
He was
yeah.
doing a good job.
There are definitely
phone.
some Will Smithisms in there.
Yeah. It wasn't like Wild Wild West Will Smith where it was just a paycheck.
God, I hate that movie.
Oh, it's bad.
I read somewhere
After Earth or whatever it's called.
After Earth.
He had to choose between The Matrix or Wild Wild West. He was going to be Neo in The Matrix.
I'm glad he wasn't Neo in The Matrix. I think Keanu Reeves did a better job.
Yeah, but... Oh, crap.
Oh, phone.
Yeah, sorry.
Phone call.
Sorry, Dad.
All right, so Will Smith did a good job. I think Margot Robbie did a fine job.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the original cut had a lot more, gave her a lot more agency, and this new cut pretty much turned her into TNA.
It did. It really did. And that's one of the things that made me really sad. And the fact that she was, her whole motivation of the movie is to get back to the Joker. That's it.
That is her.
Literally it.
That is her plot.
Which in the comics, she's all past that.
By the time she's a member of the Suicide Squad, she is past being just Joker's hench girl.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the plot of the New 52 Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
She's like is working past.
Being in a horrible relationship with a psychopath.
But in this movie, they don't make it look like a horrible relationship because it's clear that the Joker is just as obsessed with her as she is of him, which was a re-edit because in the original script, it was supposed to be very, very, very one-sided. Like the Joker is is abusive to her. And it was going to be a thing there at the end where she would decide, no, I don't need the Joker. But that's not how this ends.
I totally thought that was gonna happen.
I thought it was too, but they flipped the script and decided that no, that is her motivation. That's it.
Hated it.
Yeah,
I think maybe that's why the execs think people like Harley Quinn, and it's not.
No.
Or
also, I have another question. If Amanda Waller was putting together this team because she was afraid that there would be a Superman would go bad.
A superpowered threat.
What is Harley Quinn with a baseball bat going to do?
She may be crazy and she's the Joker's hench girl, but she's not like...
She's human.
Yeah. She's not like super infamous or anything other than being the Joker's hench girl.
Yeah. She's human.
In that universe.
Unless they make a kryptonite bullet, what's Deadshot going to do against a Kryptonian?
Yeah, like,
you can have perfect accuracy all you want, but if you got a guy where bullets are going to bounce right off him...
Like his eyeballs?
Wrong Superman movie.
Or he could just blow the bullets away with his super breath.
Like, or laser you in half, which would be...
The scare of evil Superman.
No, he'd punch him through a wall.
Yeah. Oh, that's...
No, he would just walk around and snap everybody's neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously, the only people that really have any kind of... Like, they talk about metahumans, but there are three in the whole...
Enchantress, okay. Croc.
El Diablo.
Katana doesn't count because...
Nope, she has a magic sword.
Because she has a magic sword filled with souls,
yep.
Which they only say in passing once. I think she has, like, three lines in the movie.
Yeah.
In the entire movie.
Most of them are in Japanese.
Yeah. One line, because she's very adamant that she's not a villain, that she was brought on by Rick Flag, by the good guys, to be kind of a handler.
Yeah.
But she does nothing in this movie.
Except cry into her sword.
She cries into her sword and slashes a guy once. And I think she was put into this movie, because they needed another female character. The team originally had two. One of them is immediately gone. Like, the Enchantress is immediate. She's never really part of the team. She's in all the promo shots, but she's, like, immediately gone. She's the bad guy. They needed another female character, and I think they looked at X-Men Apocalypse and saw that, hey... There's a lady with a sword. We can do that.
Never talk about how Katana gets the sword or anything. She goes, oh, no. By the way, don't let her cut you. It takes your soul.
Yeah.
That's it.
That is her entire backstory in the given movie.
And you see her kill a dude in Tokyo.
Yeah, that's it. El Diablo, you don't know anything about him until the scene right before he is gone.
Yep.
He exits the film.
Yep.
And I don't want to talk about that because there is just a little bit of... Well, it's really not even a thing, though. He turns into a fire monster and then gets blown up.
Yep.
Yeah, but, like, you don't know anything about him except that he won't use his powers to fight anymore.
Because he accidentally killed his family.
Yeah, but they don't tell you that until the scene, like, until almost 2 hours into the movie, and the next scene he is gone.
No, they bring it up earlier in the movie, because when they go to recruit
him. They mention that he doesn't use his powers, but they don't tell you why. He's just like, I don't do that anymore.
They
Leave
mention
me alone.
In dialogue that he gave himself up because he burned down his house. Like I said, they mentioned it in passing. Everything is in passing in this.
Everything is in passing because they had scenes shot and then decided to chop and screw it and make it not good.
Yeah. And then, like, we get Batman a couple of times.
He cold cocks Harley Quinn in the face. Like, just straight up punches her in the face.
Underwater.
There's a lot of violence against women in this movie. Because, okay, what member of the team haven't we talked about yet? Think hard. Because there is one we haven't talked about.
Oh.
He has the name of a very popular new metal band.
from the 90s. Popular in 1999.
Oh, you mean the Rope Men?
Yeah, Slipknot. Yeah, by the way, Slipknot's in this movie for all of about 5 minutes.
And also, like, such a, like, a low, like, a D-list DC character.
Well, the characters get, you know, they at least get a little bit of, if not a backstory, they at least show them, like, in prison, mm-hmm. doing their thing a little bit. It's not much, but at least it's something.
Yeah.
So you get about halfway through the movie where the team finally gets put together, and then a black van pulls up, and this giant Native American guy walks out in, like, body armor. I just want to differentiate that so no one's picturing like a headdress and like, like
some skin.
Yeah, no Chief Wahoo here. Yeah. It's like he's wearing military like armor, like body armor.
Yeah, he's wearing paramilitary stuff.
Steps out of a car, punches a female cop in the face, and they say, "Oh yeah, by the way, this is Slipknot. He's really good with knots and like zip lines and stuff. He's gonna be on your team too."
I can climb anything.
Yeah, because he has a grapple gun.
Yep.
That is his power. He has a grappling gun.
He has the same power as Mabel in Gravity Falls.
Exactly.
Grappling gun.
The next scene, he gets taken out.
His head explodes.
He's in the movie for less than 5 minutes. I think he has maybe 2 or 3 lines. That's it. And I'm not saying that it's a Suicide Squad. Characters should be killed off. But when you don't give any backstory to a character, that means that when that character is ultimately taken out,
it means nothing.
It means nothing. I was like, I watched it. I was like, who cares about this guy?
Yeah.
I don't know who this is.
Who cared?
Who cares? There's one thing that we haven't talked about. We've been dancing around a little bit. The Joker is in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Not as much as you might think, though.
For about 10 minutes. Actually,
about 15.
15. Yeah, I think they clocked at about 14 and a half, something like that.
Either way, he's not in the movie as much as the trailers would make you believe.
Yeah, and it is quite possibly the worst portrayal of the Joker I have ever seen in any form of media in my entire life.
A ringing endorsement.
The absolute, I mean, this is worse than, remember that show The Batman with the quasi-anime style art?
Joker dreads.
Joker dreads were better than this.
Yeah, and I hated that.
Okay, what does this Joker do in this movie? He frowns a lot.
Which, oh, you know the Joker does. That's,
yeah,
he's
a frown boy. That's his whole MO.
What was that gas in the Tim Burton Batman movie? With Frown-X?
Frown-X, that's it. He snarls a lot. He goes,
rrr,
rrr, rrr, he growls. He doesn't do anything.
And most of the stuff he does is in flashback.
Yeah, does he have any trick weaponry like the Joker? Does he have any pies? Does he have any like acid spraying flour? Does he have any like anything? I mean, even the Jack Nicholson Joker had
a hand buzzer.
Had hand buzzers and tricks. The Dark Knight, what's
Heath
his
Ledger.
Name? Heath Ledger. Thank you. The Heath Ledger Joker, he was a little more serious, but he was a very sarcastic kind of Joker.
Who wants to see a magic trick?
And he did have like trick buzzer bombs, and he did things. Very theatrical.
He did jokes.
He was theatrical.
Yes.
This Joker is a thug.
Literally, he's pretty much he's just a gang boss.
He's just a crime lord. There's nothing Joker about him. I was talking to my sister, and we were talking about the movie, and she shared a lot of the same opinions that I did on this. But she did say, at least if you took away the tattoos and the busted up teeth, that he would at least look visually like the Joker. Like, and I'll give her that. I'll give him that. Yeah.
Like when he's standing there in that black and white tuxedo, and I was like,
That was a very cool 2 seconds when you see the Mad Love version of Joker and Harley Quinn. You see classic Harley Quinn for about 2 seconds.
But also that Harley Quinn costume looked terrible.
It looked like a bad cosplayer.
It did look like
a C-tier cosplayer. But at least they thought enough to put it in there.
Yeah.
Again, this Joker, he looked like the Joker if you take away all the things that aren't the Joker.
Oh, like that part where the fact that he's got like that
smile tattooed on his face,
and then
he would just go
over his face. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Okay, he is so a crime boss, he literally made a dude kiss a ring.
Made a dude kiss a ring. Favorite movie, part of Harley Quinn's backstory that I enjoyed was the part where they're in the Joker's club. The Joker Club, which is just like, they're popping crystal, and it was a lot of gold, and...
It was a very bright scene.
Very bright scene. the scene where he's talking to a potential new hire who is just this gangster, and he says, "Hey, gangster, you like my girlfriend over there? I see you looking at her. Why don't you go have sex with her? That would be great. That's something. Yeah, why don't you do that?" And the gangster, rightfully so, goes like, "No, I mean, she's like, pretty, but no, that's
it's your girl.
I'm good, thanks." And the Joker just goes, "Well, screw you," and shoots him in the head.
Well, Harley Quinn comes over. They talk a little bit. She goes, "Well, if I'm not good enough for you, you're just wasting my time." And then Joker shoots him.
And then Joker goes,
"You're right. She's my girl." And I'm like,
"Why? That scene makes no sense. Does that sound like the Joker to you?"
Nope.
No.
There's no Joker in this.
Nope. If there's anything, Joker hates sharing anything. Like, anything.
Well, everything the Joker does has this great theatrical meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there was no theatrics. There was no meaning.
Nope.
There was nothing. There was absolutely no point. If they wanted what they should have done, they should have left the Joker completely out of it.
Yeah.
And there's an after credit scene where everyone's back in prison and a bunch of thugs break in and break Harley out. And that's where you should have had the Joker. Just one shot of the Joker breaking Harley Quinn out of jail. Just that one time.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a good reveal.
And then have that it not have, be Jared Leto.
That would have set up Suicide Squad number 2.
Where the Joker was actually the villain.
Where the Joker was actually the villain and not like a red herring.
Yeah. Well, unlike the trailers, it made it think like the Joker was the villain.
Yeah.
Because I remember there's a cut of one of the trailers where they're all sitting there and you hear the Joker's laugh overlaid the scene.
Oh, yeah. There's no Joker laugh.
And there is a little bit, but
it's like...
and... You're ruining my train of thought.
"Hello there, Batman."
It's like a nervous, like,
But no, there's a part where in a trailer where you hear the Joker laugh, and Deadshot says, "Oh, that's not good.
That's nowhere not in the movie
at all.
That's nowhere in the movie."
Like, the only time the Joker himself interacts with the Suicide Squad
is just Harley Quinn.
Well, and when he hijacks a helicopter out of somewhere.
Yeah.
And,
who knows where.
Yeah. And
maybe he just had one. I mean,
and shoots up the rooftop. It was an Argus helicopter.
Yeah.
And shoots up a rooftop where the squad was to get Harley. That's it. That is completely.
Shoots up a rooftop. He looks more like a Joker that would shoot up on a rooftop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate their designs.
Did you ever know how I got these track marks?
It was in
they
closing
look trashy. They look so trashy.
And overall, this is not a good movie. It's made more frustrating because there is a good movie in there.
Oh, and there's also really bad CG.
Oh, the CG is not. Yeah, the CG is pretty rough.
And it's made a bajillion dollars.
Because
of people like us.
Well, no, the people like us who want to see, or have a morbid curiosity, and then there are people who their entire perception of like Harley Quinn and the Joker comes from the Hot Topic rack. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to read comic books before going into a movie. That's not what I'm saying.
They should be good enough
at all.
On their own.
They should be good enough on its own. But the version of the characters that were portrayed in this movie doesn't jive with in Joker's case, doesn't jive at all with any other version of the character. And in Harley Quinn's case, hasn't jived with the character in a very long time.
No.
And it is giving the wrong impression.
Yes.
Of these.
And it's just a bad interpretation.
It's a bad interpretation. That's what I meant.
Even if it was different, it'd be okay if it was good, but it's not.
Yeah, I like different. Different is great. Bad? Different?
It's even worse than regular bad.
Exactly. Don't see this movie. Don't give them any more of your money. And this is, I'm a DC fanboy. I mean, I've gotten it leveled at me before that, no, I just love Marvel movies. And that's not the case. Marvel movie, they put out good movies.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of good movies.
Yeah, there is no conspiracy against DC like some people on the internet would say.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
We're not getting paid off because we're not getting paid.
We're not getting paid. Exactly.
Like, seriously, like, I would love to see a good DC movie.
I would love to sell out. If Marvel wanted to buy good reviews for me, I am ready to sell out.
Give me the fat sacks of cash. But
I am
not.
Yeah, that is absolutely not the case. But yeah, don't see this movie. Don't give them any more of your money, because by it making back all of its money, it is sending
the wrong message.
It's sending a message to Warner Brothers saying that this is what people want.
Deadpool kind of did the same thing with its success,
but they took it the wrong way.
They took it the wrong way.
Exactly. And that's what
The point of Deadpool was let the filmmakers do what they want. The point was not everything has to be fart jokes and R-rated.
And straight up steal the unicorn joke in its entirety. Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a straight up taken. That was jarring almost. Because it's never been a part of the character in any way, shape, or form. Captain Boomerang's an alcoholic. That's his character in the comics. He's an Australian guy who throws boomerangs, and he's drunk half the time. He gets drummed out of, like, he was part of the main gang of Flash villains, the Rogues, and has been kicked out multiple times because
he has a drinking problem.
He's a screw up. That's kind of his character. He never had a fascination with, like,
My Little Pony.
Or anything like that.
His really bad track jacket hoodie zip up.
We could talk another hour about how all of the costumes look bad.
Except for Katana.
For Katana's look good, and Deadshot's at least looked close.
Yeah. And he looked cool.
He wore the mask for like two scenes.
Yeah, and then Harley Quinn, dropped the P-bomb on him.
Yeah, and he did twice. Have like the... Oh yeah, there was language out of nowhere in this movie. I don't know who this movie was marketed towards because it certainly wasn't kids. Anyway,
it doesn't matter because kids end up going to see. They go see it anyway.
Deadshot, he did have the eye reticle thing that he from his mask. So at least they gave him that.
I feel like the mask was just used to this is the part where we have a stuntman.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, we're paying too much money to Will Smith to let him mess up his face. So here, stuntman, put this mask on and do some flips.
Yeah.
This movie was bad. Don't waste your money.
Womp womp.
Well, we talked about this way more than I was planning on. We just ate an entire half hour on Suicide Squad. So let's go ahead and get out of here. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverload website.
You can send us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com. You can send us a tweet @nerd_overload. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
Yep, and we are also on iTunes and Stitcher. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.